Why are we here? We're not just testing like your microphone. No, do it.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was almost a year ago to the day that we were actually sat here, and we hadn't even started our trip then.
It's a year. Mm. It's a long time.
Tell me when we're actually starting for real. Or are we just talking? What we're going to say? Or are we actually going to do it in a minute?
We are doing it.
Yeah, well, you said you were going to do an introduction. That's what I was kind of waiting for.
Okay, we're doing introduction then. Yeah?
Yeah, if you can do it.
I can try. Hello, guys. You can't see it, but today I'm here with Dennis, and we're sitting in a kitchen right now in my studio, and we're actually discussing the project, discussing Faster Than My Mind. And probably to you it's quite strange to listen to us in this format, but to me it's not that strange, because actually I had an idea to have a few podcast sessions to talk about traveling, motorcycles, and on all of it alongside our documentary. But actually, documentary takes up so much time, as well as we always have to remember it's an independent project, and all the time I can put into post-production of this film is actually the time which I take away from my family. So no weekends for a year, and slowly we are moving there, but we are not there, not quite yet. So hopefully pretty soon we'll have something more to share with you guys, and probably we can chat today about a few things, what's going on.
Yeah, hello, and it's been quite useful, I think, just to kind of catch up and find out what the state of the project is, and the sort of challenges I know that you've been facing, really, as quite honestly don't envy you, because I know just how much filming was done, and probably the quality of my filming wasn't the best you've had to deal with.
But I guess, you know what, it's like, I don't want to make it into some kind of moaning session. That's not our intent, you know, but actually it's a lot of work, which is great. But at the same time, I would change only one thing, really. If I could take three, 4 or 5 months just dedicate to it, basically, that would be ideal. But in real life, it's just impossible, unfortunately. It is a lot of footage, though. It is a lot of events which we like because we experienced it. But on the film, to translate it on the film, especially in a documentary, which I'm not that familiar with, you know, and I don't know. It's a crazy task.
Yeah, it's like I was saying to you the other day, in my mind, I can jump from something we did in, I don't know, in Romania, and then next minute I can be talking about Norway, and it's all a kind of quite a clear picture in my mind. But to actually, I guess, to find that and to tell that story, you know, it's going to be a bit of a nightmare.
Do you know, I'm sometimes thinking, like, if we wouldn't have cameras with us, that experience would be so much better. it would be so much more exciting, I guess. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of different parts of the trip, really, to me, because I obviously had to learn a lot fairly quickly in terms of doing some technical stuff, or somewhat technical.
Like in terms of filming?
Filming, yeah. And then obviously we were backing up, doing two copies of everything we'd filmed every day. Then it's probably about midnight by this time, and we deliberately weren't planning ahead to where we're going to be next. So then we have to start thinking, right, we're going to get up in the morning, where exactly we're going to head for.
And then, you know, what I noticed is this feel of kind of sense of guilt. If you don't film anything which is worth showing, then I felt so guilty. I don't know why. And I don't know, it was terrible. In a sense, it was strange, because it felt like I'm working for a TV channel or something. I have to deliver, you know.
I mean, inevitably, some of the things that we've talked about and we did experience, you're just never going to catch those on film. But that's more personal to us, I guess, because we know those. But I think the good thing is we've got a lot of what we did experience. It has been captured, so it'd be good to see how that is brought, you know, brought across in the film or whatever. Yeah,
that's such a huge responsibility, you know. when I look at it, I'm saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what have we done? Like, we could just leave, didn't tell anyone, and just do the trip and enjoy it and show it to, I don't know, to our family, and we're done, you know, but that's usually, it's not how it happens, you know? And even we're talking about it right now, and why is this message important?
I mean, when we set off, what was kind of your expectations for this trip in terms of the way you approached it and, you know, and so forth? I mean,
yeah, the thing is, like, I was actually running away from my studio, from my life, from what I do. Don't get me wrong, there are amazing and good parts of it. And but the thing is that when you do something for many years, you just tend to forget what is what and what you need in your life. And it's the easiest example is big houses, you know, big home full of crap. And then, you know, when you go off for 90 days around like 30 something European countries, all you have is your motorcycle. You don't have to be worried about your bills, about your day-to-day life, about anything at all. All you're thinking is, do I have two pairs of jeans and socks in my plastic box? And that's it. And that's something we don't get, you know. And when you grow up as well, as a kid, when you're born, you put into a system straight away. So they tell you, you go to school, you work, you do college, you know, you kind of, that's what you do, that's what expected of you. But actually, there is completely different type of life out there, which I personally never experienced in my life. And when I turned 30, that was the first time in my life when I realized, okay, I need to feel it. I need to know how it is not to give a shit.
Well, from my approach to this trip would be, if I think back to when I first used to do motorbike trips, you'd kind of think, right, I need to know which hotels I'm going to stay in on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, which roads I'm going to take and all the rest of it. So kind of throwing all that approach, I mean, I don't do that so much anyway now, but just throwing that all out the window for such a big trip that we were doing felt a little bit alien to me. But the things we experienced, we could never have done if we'd have put very strict plans around it. It just would not have happened.
Yeah, it would never work, definitely. And that's the thing, like, to some people, probably this is not a huge trip. It's not a big thing, maybe, I don't know, but to us, definitely it was. I can speak about myself. It was, obviously, it was the biggest trip I ever done. I never done any trips on motorcycle, you know, and that was the first one, and it was huge. But when I look back, it's amazing. And my pain right now is that I can't translate in film everything I want to say. And that's a little bit, you know, it's frustrating. It's difficult to me. Because I'm back to this kind of, I guess I just have a need to tell it, to tell the story probably. I don't know, maybe yeah. That's the reason why I'm in this panic mode from time to time.
I mean, I feel certain that when you eventually finish the film, I'm almost certain you're going to be proud of it. And it's something you're going to remember, and we're both going to sort of have a lot to remember from it as well. So I can see it's a bit of a pressure on you to get through that, but it's going to be you know, just out of the personal side of it. But I hope other people can see there's some sort of inspiration from what we did. I really don't think I would ever sort of try to see it as being prescriptive in how to do something, but just to kind of take a chance and go out there and do what you want, and don't plan it too closely, really. I think that's the main approach.
All I want to say really is it's not going to be a blockbuster, you know. It's just two guys on two motorcycles, you know, having their cameras with them, and they're just trying to get along with each other, trying to get along with roads and people we meet, actually. And that's it. That's all it is. That's all it is. There's nothing else to it. but the funny thing is, like, if some time ago, like, I don't know how many years, maybe 100, maybe 2, who knows, something like that was daily life, probably traveling from one place to another and having almost nothing with you and so on and so on. So now it's a little bit rare.
We sat down last night. We just went through all the main stories that we could recall And I think that was really good for me. I hope it was for you as well, because it kind of bouncing off one thing off each other helped me relive it. But also, if that's going to help you in the production process, I hope it does. And incidentally, I've just thought of one that we forgot. Just outside the is it the Guggenheim Museum in the Basque Country? Yeah. Our friend across the road sat at the restaurant.
Oh,
we'd
who
forgotten
was shouting
that
at us? Yeah, yeah, who was shouting at us, and that we were filming. And obviously, some people feel so important that you have to be careful. Yeah, he even took our number plates, like took pictures of our number plates. But I thought, you know what, we're not hiding. We have our website on the bike. So you can actually find us. You can actually look where we are, you know. So it's not a... Yeah, I remember that guy. I remember that. In terms of post-production as well, that so far, I just went through the footage, basically. That's what I did. And I tried to catch all those small moments which are interesting. But the real life is that actually the amount of the footage and all those moments, when I'm on day 56, let's say, I already forgot everything what was in day one, day two. So I have to go back to my notes. But when you read it, you kind of, you don't see it. So, you know, it's kind of, I'm getting into this loop all the time. So I'm going back and forward all the time, looking at the same footage and doing all that stuff, which I mean, it could sound very boring. Sometimes it is boring, but it's kind of difficult to put it in to put it in a story, because usually we have script and we base it on the script. You know, that's a completely different story there. But here we don't have a script. So somehow all these messages we're sending, channeling, somehow we have to put in this movie.
So basically, if we end up with 30 small stories, each one of those can be kind of dealt with in their own right, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. It could be turned into like episodes. It could be because we definitely have plenty of like a short stories. That's what it is. But the art of filmmaking is exactly that's exactly how it is. You have like 25 tiny stories which are related in some way, and then we just trying to kind of put it together and make it into something bigger.
I think we noticed there was a few themes that were running through our film, and breakages was one of those, wasn't it?
Well, I'm sure any traveling movie, you know, you can't survive without that. So you definitely.
Probably the one that I got most criticised for, which I don't think was really caught on camera, was something to do with toilets, wasn't it?
I don't think we have it actually on camera, but Dennis was breaking every single toilet he went.
The funny thing was, it wasn't me, I got the blame.
We can't, because if we're going to talk about it right now, it's going to take at least 25 minutes. So we're going to blame each other.
Okay, we'll move on.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say?
Pregnant pause.
Yeah, no. There is actually one more thing which I want to talk about, which is our homepage. And we wanted to use it for our movie, for our documentary. But at this point right now, it looks like we just came up with another plan for it.
Previously, I'd been just sharing some motorcycle movies which are already online, because I mean, we both have a keen passion in bikes anyway, so it kind of made sense. And I don't know, there was quite a bit of interest in those, as we've seen from the hits, etc. But because we've got contact with a lot of people who've got unusual bikes, and I guess even people we don't know, they'll have their own stories, whether it's about you know, their bike, the particular trips that they've enjoyed, you know, maybe what was the worst or most favorite trips they've done, etc. And from that we can make some short video blogs, and I think that's going to be quite interesting for us to do.
Yeah, well, we kind of thought that we could extend our project a little bit more and open it up to your stories, actually, and to to have other people share their experiences and their traveling experiences, their motorcycle stories, and so on and so on. So we don't just talk about ourselves, you know, and what we did. But I have to say that this is something what I kind of disagree with a lot of people who say, well, what, you can't really do the trip like that and be kind of self-centric and think about yourself. But actually, I think, guys, you have to do it. You have to think about yourself. You have to go there. You have to go out. You have to ride. You have to kind of think about your life, and that's the only way to get somewhere. That's the only way to understand who you are. What do you want? Where do you go? Because if you don't think about yourself at all, it's not selfish to think about yourself, because that's the only way how you can help somebody else. You know, if you are fine, that's the only way how you can help somebody. If you are kind of, you know, if you're in a mess and you don't understand why do you live and you have too many unanswered questions, it's difficult to guide somebody else. You know, that's just what I think. And it sounds like I have to open my own church now.
Yeah, so on the website, I know we're still working on it as we speak, but
Dennis, I was giving this amazing speech, and are you going back to website? Say something, I don't know, like something great now, like read something of a Bible, or I don't know, just just inspire people, you know.
Well, you know, we had our bikes blessed. I mean, I suppose you're feeling a bit sort of
blessed. Yeah, we had our bikes blessed in Ireland, which was an interesting experience, I have to say. That's the one I really want to put in the film, because I haven't heard of it, so I'm not sure about you.
Have
you?
I ever? Hadn't heard of it. I don't really recall hearing of it before we had came and encountered that, but I've spoken to other people since, and they say it's quite a well, not common, but, you know, something that happens elsewhere.
In Ireland, probably.
Maybe, but I don't know if it's
Do
elsewhere.
You remember how did we find out about this event?
Well, the night we turned up in, I forget the name of the town now.
It doesn't matter.
Just stopped on the side of the road looking for our directions, I think, to find somebody. And a van pulled up alongside us. I thought he hadn't seen us, because I thought he was actually going to back into our bikes or my trailer or something.
No, you see, he was telling us about bike blessing.
Yeah, he opened his door or window or whatever, and he said, come along tomorrow.
Which is such a random thing, isn't it? Somebody
exactly.
Stops and tells you about some kind of a ceremony, you know. It's quite random, actually.
And what kind of memory for me of that event was, of course, there was like maybe 200 bikers there. And it's a really nice church, actually. And as you do, you listen to what the service is about, etc. But then I look across to my left, and there's the guy standing there with his camera zooming in and, you know, just making a documentary.
But we
had a lot of good promotion, though, from our priest. Or,
yeah, what else I could do? And actually, priest, he himself is riding a Triumph, I think.
I think so.
And I think yesterday I saw his new Triumph Thruxton on his Facebook page, which I'm very jealous of, actually. So I might be in the wrong business here, you know? Over this time, have you ever had any kind of encounters with other people who actually followed us or seen any images?
Yeah, I mean, some people I can remember speaking to somebody I didn't really, not somebody I knew very well, but he said, oh, really interested to follow all your journey. When's the film coming out? And at least a few people are quite interested, and hopefully quite a few more. But
and
yeah,
that's
to me, feedback, you know.
To me, that's scary, because they want to see the film, or they're being nice by saying that. But if they watch it and they're disappointed, then I don't know. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Oh, I think it's, in the end, it was... a really great experience for me, and I'm sure it was for you. And
definitely,
you know, if somebody gets something out of watching it, well, I'm pleased. You know, if they don't like it, well, just don't watch it. But you know, I think
well, if you don't like it, we're sorry, basically. Yeah. But that's what you get. This is what you get.
Yeah, I think I'd like to sort of understand a bit more about what other people are doing, similar sort of trips and things like that. So I've started to follow some people who are doing not the same as us, but doing other things. And you know, there's a lot of stories out there, obviously, to be told. And you know, maybe some that will be a lot more interesting than ours, but they just didn't get captured in any way. So I think it's good that we've got something to look back on. And yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's probably why it's such a good thing to collect the stories, you know, on our page, which we're trying to do right now, because that's exactly the point. There are so many amazing stories, like so much better than ours, actually. but yeah, it would be great to learn about it, because that feeling, you know, of being out there, just, it's amazing. I enjoyed it very much.
And what I've found already, just from two stories that we've covered, it's the backstory that's really interesting. Okay, it might be about a bike, for example, a particular rare bike, but it's some bit of the history of that bike that makes the story different. And people might almost take the story for granted without realizing, hey, certainly to me, and hopefully other people, when they see it, they kind of think, yeah, that's a bit unusual. And I'm sure there'd be a lot more stories like that we could cover.
Yeah, it was actually, speaking of like faster than my mind as a project, it was quite interesting to hear that somebody actually read our interview, which was on day one website, and it happened today. This lady, you know, who came over to one of the filmmaker events in Brighton, she basically said that, oh, I actually read about you on day one website, which was amazing to hear, you know, that actually people recognize, you know, what you did, and they are interested, which is beautiful. And I never believed in people that much. Before the trip, I saw that Europe is done, everybody is done, everything is bad, and you just can't leave your home, you know, your four walls, basically. But actually now I believe in people again, because people we met were amazing, most of the time we were okay, and it was safe. We were safe, or we just felt safe, because sometimes when you're holding a camera, you feel safe. But, you know, it's like this false kind of safety, which you get when you do something and you feel like you are protected by it.
And we all know that newspapers like sensational headlines and things like that. We just didn't see newspapers. We didn't sort of hear the news or whatever. And we kind of joke about the fact that we didn't even know the Olympic Games was on. Well, it was actually a fact. So, you know, you free yourself from all of that kind of day-to-day stuff that influences your... the way you look at people, I think. And certainly in my experience, it just kind of reinforced my beliefs that, you know, people are pretty much all the same no matter where you go. And we had a lot of kindness and friendship and stuff like that through our travels, so it was good.
I know that some people, you know, can ask this question, so what, you went around Europe and that's all, you know, that's all you did. But actually, to me, it was more about just leaving everything. You pick the bike you want, not what you actually should pick for long distance traveling, you know. And we were riding bikes we love, and we were just enjoying everything what was around us without actually focusing on anything else. And that experience, that's when you are in this kind of a distance, you are in between all the worlds, all the countries, all the languages, and you're nowhere. You arrive, and then you leave. Next day you're leaving, and that's kind of an amazing feeling. And if I wouldn't be married, I probably wouldn't stop. Probably Brighton wouldn't be my last stop. I would actually try to carry on, and who knows for how many years I would be on the road. I don't know.
I hate to tell you this, Astles, but on Tuesday I'm heading off for another long trip.
I know, and I don't want to hear about it, because I would love to be on motorcycle now and leaving somewhere again. And you're going to see our old friends as well.
I was just
going to
say that, yeah. If it wouldn't have been for our trip, you know, I'm actually going to meet up with a couple of our friends we met last year. So there you go. It's
Guys, sorry, movie is not done yet. I'm sorry.
This is a sequel I'm working on.
Well, if somebody wants to come in and help me with editing, please do. You know where to find me, Brighton.
Well, I suppose, I mean, you just don't know how the film's going to turn out, but what would you like people to probably take away from the film? What would be rewarding for you in terms of a filmmaker if some sort of reactions maybe you could hope for.
All I want is actually for somebody to watch it and probably maybe go on his own journey. Don't want anybody to expect this shiny bikers movie because it's not. It's a real life, and that's who we are. That's how we live, and that's what we did. And we didn't have a huge camera crew behind us, you know. That's just us, just two of us on the road. And whatever happens, however we feel at the time, that reflects on how we capture it. And if I would have enough skills, probably I would use it to my advantage. But hopefully I'll be able to put it together in a way that you feel it, that actually you can see it, that you can feel us not only by looking at our faces, terrible faces there, tired faces, but you can actually feel it from the way it's filmed, from the way we trying to portray it or show it.
Yeah, so I mean, one thing about the trip for me and for both of us really was it was going to be a good opportunity to get to know each other, and it's not often.
And it was. Yeah, it was definitely.
Yeah. It's not many times in people's lives, maybe unless you're in something like a submarine in the Navy or something, you're going to spend so much time with somebody.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's always some. There's a lot of good times, a few little things that happened as well, but...
We had a bad times, major bad times, and we had an amazing time as well, definitely. And that's what makes it, I guess. That's what makes the story. You know?
Yeah, and I think just one other thing I would say, like the people we met along the way, people we kind of had acquaintances with before we left, and others who just met completely randomly on the roadside, mostly in a good way, I would say, but it changes the dynamics, and you start to notice that actually you've kind of adapted your way of living because it's just the two of you, and then you bring other people in, and your conversation changes, and you become more sort of reflective on what's going on and things like that. It's
that's a good point.
Yeah, I kind of just sort of noticed that myself. People matter, actually. Obviously, it sounds a bit big in that, but I mean, it's kind of. Can change things quite a bit when you have other people in a conversation.
Mm-hmm. But to me, it always was kind of a good feeling to move on. Always. Yeah. I had this feeling that it's fine to stay somewhere and you can get lazy and you enjoy it. But then it's such a good feeling to move on. And again, just two bikes and road and that's it, you know, and we're gone.
Yeah, I mean, actually thinking about it, I mean, most trips or any trip that I do, and I mean, in a sense, it is the same thing, but you start from your home or wherever and you go off in some direction and you do something and you come back again. So that point of leaving, you're thinking, oh, well, I'll be back here soon and then I'll be, you know, same old. But actually, it was always moving forward, really, because I know eventually we're going to come back to Brighton, but, you know, it was always, where's the next country? What are we going to experience?
It was always new places.
Yeah.
Yeah, new places, new countries. Definitely. And that kind of was like never-ending story, really. You're just going and going and moving and moving. And over the time, it was like it turned into a lifestyle. It turned into a normal day-to-day thing, actually.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah. Oh, dear. So we certainly had a few times to enjoy ourselves along the way as well. And I'm not sure we'll get invited back to Benidorm anytime soon, but... We'll let people work that one out for themselves.
I'm glad, actually. Okay, I guess, yeah, we're talking already for like roughly half an hour, I guess. And finally, I can use this podcast related homepage, which I set up and never used. So probably we're going to use it for this podcast. And hopefully somebody is going to listen to all this and enjoy it. And if you want Dennis to do more podcasts, let us know. And be safe.
Okay, thanks, guys. Yeah. I don't know if I signed off very well there, but anyway.